This episode of RTFM is brought to you by The Lost Bay RPG, a suburban gothic RPG set in 1990X. Hello, Cat. You've been touched by the weird. It's in your blood. We can hear it struggling to get out. Hang out with immortals. Collect relics. I got a sneak peek at this game. The art direction, the design direction is beautiful. Looks super cool. If you are into our like weird techno 90s mall shit, this should be right up your alley. You can follow the Kickstarter page and be the first to be notified on launch at thelostbayrpg.com.
Is there a cool S somewhere? The 90s mall thing. Unless there's a cool S somewhere.
I will, if you back it and you show me, I will send you a postcard with a cool S that you can put into your copy of the game.
If you send me your book, I will draw one cool S. In the book, we didn't put a cool S in ours. I feel like this is a mistake. Are we even game designers?
We're doing it for the AR app when we do that.
Oh yeah, right. don't mention the AR app. No, it's fine.
Instead of mentioning the AR app today, we will mention Vermis. Is that how you say it?
I assume it's like actually the most opposite to an AR app a thing could be.
Yeah, this is just an R app. It's a book.
It's a book.
Vermis is by Plastibu, published by Hollow Press in 2023. It was recovered from Plastibu's aborted partnership with From Software's Hidetaka Miyazaki, which started in 2001 after the two played Ico and before Miyazaki worked at FromSoft. That's a lie. I just made all of that up.
I was like, is it? I was for sure with you. I was fully gullible. I was like, I've looked up nothing about this other than having read it and enjoyed it. And
yes.
That would be wild.
I made all of that up because this book is sort of an homage, a call to old video game books like strategy guides, instruction books. It is not strictly an RPG. There is maybe a game element to reading it. We'll get into that. But yeah, it's I guess I would call it an art book. With the conceit that it is a strategy guide or a walkthrough to a game that never existed. There's no actual connection to Miyazaki or FromSoft, but a very clear aesthetic descendant,
I think. There's a philosophical connection.
Yes. Yeah, it's like 130 pages, full color.
Cool as shit. Must be noted that it is cool as shit. It's I have the fourth printing of it. I think there might have been another printing.
I was reading the fifth printing. Yes.
Yeah. It has been extremely popular. There is also a Vermis 2, which I haven't read yet, but do have on my bookshelf downstairs. Do you know how popular it is?
I did not particularly like large parts of the book.
Wow.
And great. So I want Go to off. Give you a chance. Well, no, I want to give you a chance to describe it as someone who enjoyed it. I also really enjoyed 49% of it. You know, it's just like, we'll get into it for sure. But it was a strange experience. But I do I want to hear from you as a Vermis lover.
Okay. I'm gonna temper my affections for it, or at least like preface them with saying that I am wholly in on the thing that it is.
Yes.
And less wholly in on like its actual specific content. The art, I love.
The art is amazing.
I love the art. It is phenomenal. The writing
the
is me.
Art looks like a kind of, I mean this in an affectionate way, like low quality prints of 3D graphics, like maybe PS1 era or late.
Yeah, there's a whole realm. There may someday be a book about it, I think, but like there may already be a book about it, but there's like, I think there are multiple books. I don't know what I'm talking about. I think there are multiple books about this. The whole concept of like taking in-game photography, and this has a little bit of that vibe. The game just doesn't exist. It's all fake. But there's like a whole art form that is like playing a video game and taking screenshots or photography or whatever in it. I don't know if I fully think that it counts as photography, but whatever. I'm sure the internet will for that one. As a photographer, I'm not sure that a screenshot is the same thing. But maybe it is. Maybe I don't care. Right. I'm soft now. I forgot. The jam of this year is that I'm soft now. It's photography. Everything is whatever we want it to be. Form has no meaning. Craft doesn't matter. But it has that vibe. And I often thoroughly enjoy like game photography projects. And so there is a part of me that it like appeals to on that level.
Yeah.
And knowing that it is not game photography makes it like more artistically impressive in some ways. Yes. You know, like this is a thing that a human made.
I would say mainly an art book. I really liked the art. The texture of all the pieces is really good. Some of the pieces feel like they are from in-game screenshots. Other pieces feel like they are from instructional guides or promotional materials. Like they don't feel like they're screenshots. They feel like art made for the game. Some of them feel like mixes between those. Like there are maps for certain levels that feel like printed material, but then with graphics of the game overlaid for like where the enemies are and stuff,
or like little character sheets for
all the like these are characters you can be. This one has 4 will and 1 strength or whatever.
This one carries a good item that is a witch's tongue. I thought the witch's tongue was cool. It does have some items for stuff that are kind of neat, but yeah, it has some of it does seem in game, some of it does seem guide for game,
and I love all that stuff. I think the art is great.
I definitely, my notes consist of the witch's tongue is rad. This is just poetry. Is this Elden Ring fanfic? And the stench champion would make a fun encounter. Those are my notes. That's it. We can talk about them all if we want, but that's what I got.
I disliked the prose so much that to me it's like anti-poetry. I did not enjoy reading it. I thought it needed to be heavily edited. It was repetitive. It felt like... So it also is maybe translated.
It is maybe translated. I did have that wonder about
it. And so I did... I don't want to say like, this person is a shitty writer or anything like that. Fault. I think I just kept seeing immediate ways for this to be more enjoyable prose for me. And there's maybe the conceit that it is attempting to copy like bad translations of old video game manuals and stuff and video game screenshots. I get that. I still think there would have been ways to make it more enjoyable. But
yeah,
you know, maybe I'm just a real prose head jerk, right? Like maybe I am the lead guy of prose.
My initial response was like, Aaron, to the rest of us, poetry is shitty. So like this doesn't actually like, you know, register as bad poetry, because often, you know, like 99% of poetry to me is just really dumb.
Yeah.
And which is funny because I really like some poetry. I don't hate everything that is a poem. We did just read the Iliad or whatever. But I have also like read a lot of feminist poetry in my youth and really enjoyed it. I just think that also often sometimes poetry is just a form for people to be up their own asses. And so that way,
90% of everything 100% is
poetry. If poetry is writing that is just being on up your own ass, then I feel like this is that. I didn't think that like the writing was particularly compelling. And I think that if like parts of it I found interesting more in a what the words were conveying than the actual selection of the words.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? In that, like, some of the actual, like, content, like the witch's tongue was interesting. The witch's tongue is a object that one of the characters carries, one of the bad guys carries. Super evil or whatever. But it just says, like, is a witch's tongue, and it vibrates near evil. Which to me was just an instance where the book felt really gameable. Like that felt like a fun thing that I would pull out of it and put in a game. And there was a lot of those moments where I felt like, oh, this is a really cool object, or that's like a cool feature of a space or a monster that could be removed from this and put into a play context that would be really cool. But that's not really about how the words sit next to one another.
Yeah. Well, I think part of it too is, you know, I've played Elden Ring. I've played the first Dark Souls. This
a famous Dark Souls poet on our on our guest list. I don't know if you know this, but we did.
Wait, what?
Natalie wrote Bloodborne poetry.
Oh my god, I want to read that now. It is like almost, and we have talked about games that try to recreate the vibes of another form of storytelling, like whether that's a novel or a video game, and people go, oh, this is the RPG version of that. And we have had discussions about that and like mixed feelings about that. I think most of this book to me so clearly is trying to ape the FromSoft vibe aesthetics, but does not have the writing chops to match some of the evocative descriptions of items from that game, those games, the cut scenes and stuff like that. And so it's like, you know, to me, it just feels like if you're going to come for the king, you better not miss. Like they're coming for this highly polished work and they are not as polished. And so to me, it just kind of suffers in comparison. And maybe if I'd never played Elden Ring or Dark Souls, I would not feel that way. I wanted to have my own edit of it, right? I wanted to mod this to be, it also feels like it reproduces those vibes pretty well, especially in the imagery. The imagery, it does capture those vibes, I think, and reach those heights. But I don't think it ever went beyond those vibes or did anything different. Like, to me, I was just like, oh, it's another kind of FromSoft thing. And there are knights and skeletons and goblins and not a whole lot else. There's a big spike head guy. There's a knight with a big an onion helmet.
Yes, some of them are like, oh, this is a direct pull. And like, I almost wish, maybe this is me being shit, I almost wish it was like a officially licensed product.
Right, like this is Dark Souls 1.5. This was what could have been.
Yeah, or it's like, because it is a fan. Like, I guess, and I also am, everything you're saying about this book is how I feel about almost every Dark Souls attempt at an RPG that has been made, where I'm like, they are bad. I have tried so many of them, and I feel like so many of them are bad and not at all getting the jam. They're just throwing a Dark Souls skin over the same game that...
Right, and that is the downfall of a lot of those attempts to capture the vibes of any other fictional thing is you have to be at least as good as this thing that was often made by maybe a team of 50 people with a huge budget across months and years. And so it can be hard to kind of compete. Not that it should be a competition, but I just mean it makes it hard for me to go from, oh, I love playing Elden Ring, to then reading this and going, oh, a lot of this stuff is not as good as Elden Ring. But if this book did a bit more to separate itself from that vibe, I would not be comparing them as directly.
Or potentially just used less words. because we have said like the art is phenomenal, right? Like if it was just an art book, I don't know that criticism would be there. If it was just like, this is
or if this was like a 16 page zine, you know, if I wasn't reading 130 pages in a hardcover, I might give it more slack. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. And I don't, we've switched minds. Like, I feel weird. You know, this, I don't know who this person is who made this. I don't know what their financial situation is. I want them to
succeed.
They've
made more money off this book than you and I have made on all of our artistic endeavors combined. Right. So
I hope so. It's good.
It's in the sixth printing or whatever. Each printing, I think my printing says it's a print issue of like 6,000 copies fourth printing. I have not sold 6,000 copies of something that cost $25 ever.
Like, that's this is also 6,000 copies, fifth printing.
That's so many copies of a book. They're doing fine. If they're not, they should be yelling at HoloPress, because that's a lot of copies of a book to not put a nice chunk of money in somebody's pocket.
Yeah. I also just don't like, I think there are ways of engaging with games and books and other media where sometimes people are just like, oh, I like that. I want a bit more of it. Mm-hmm. That is not how I typically engage with that stuff. If it is how you engage with that stuff, this might be exactly what you want. If you're like, I just finished all the Dark Souls games and Elden Ring, I would love to look at some art inspired by that. This is exactly what you want, and you should get it. If you are like, I was inspired by the originality or the novelty of Dark Souls, I would love to feel that spark of novelty again. This will not give you that, I don't think. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just remember working in a bookstore when Harry Potter was coming out. And, you know, J.K. Rowling, now a TERF, not trying to talk her up at all. But like at the time, she was not a well-known author. And then Harry Potter was huge. And then the publisher was like, great, we got a hit on our hands. We're going to give all the money toward promoting the next Harry Potter books and not toward promoting any actually new work. And then Harry Potter finished and everyone was like, cool, what's the next Harry Potter? By which I mean, what's the next young man who has powers and doesn't know it? And like, they capture all the wrong stuff. Like, instead of finding a new young author to promote with new ideas to elevate them to that level, they're just like, can we make the same thing over and over again? And so I have beef with that method of production. That is not the case here. I don't think HoloPress is a huge publisher.
I also bought Anal Wizards, that is a different book that they released.
Sounds more intriguing to me.
I do think maybe we should Zine Quest Anal Wizards. It's definitely a thing. Like, I don't know that it's funny. It's very funny. It's also a like playable comic book. So there's like interesting form stuff this sounds, happening.
Damn it. Plastiboo. Why didn't I read that first?
It's not plastic. It's like a different. It's just published by HoloPress. I just was like, I'm going to save on shipping and buy another thing from this person.
Yeah. And it's got to be Anal Wizards.
And it's also called Anal Wizards. And we know how I feel about anything like that. Yeah. I think I don't know. I feel like I want more of these projects to exist, even if they're not perfect.
Yeah, absolutely.
And maybe this is because when I was spending all of my time taking photographs, the thing that I really loved doing was taking portraits of people in completely like fictional scenarios, frequently science fiction themed, as if they were like movie posters for a movie that didn't exist.
Yes.
And like, now I guess people do that with cosplay, but I think cosplay photos are by and large fucking horrible, so I don't actually think that's it, but because it's it's a whole thing. I have so many feelings about it. I'm like, oh, it could be so cool because you have all these like cool crafts going into the costume and then you take this fucking horrible Instagram photo. But yeah, I feel like I appreciate the speculative nature of, I am making an object that references something that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
I like that. I like creatively living in that space. I think that's really compelling. I want more people to do that. I feel like what I'm hearing from you is like, it's not referencing something that doesn't exist. It's filing the serial number off something that does exist.
And like, as you said about cosplay, like, I recognize the hard work that went into this book. The textures on the pages, the color palette are so good. And like, that's part of why I wanted to read this, right? Like,
as art book.
Yeah. And so I like almost just wish the text was taken out, right? And then it would be a strange visual poem where my mind was going crazy connecting these pages, like a silent comic book.
The text. I feel like even if you have things like...
Yeah, that's what we always say is you should have edited.
Well, because even if you have something... I mean, I liked the Stench Champion, right? Like, that was my other note. And I just liked it because the text at the Stench Champion says, as the name suggests, the smell coming from the champion is unbearable. If you choose to fight it, you must hold your breath or change position to use the breeze in your favor. And I was like, that is a fun encounter design.
Yes.
That would be a hoot.
And that's like, that is something like there weren't, this is going to sound dumb and nitpicky, but like there weren't hold your breath or breeze direction mechanics in Dark Souls or anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe there was in some of them, and I have not encountered them. And so like these ideas of kind of, it's not Dark Souls, it's something a little different. That sounds really fun.
Yeah, and I like that. I think part of the text that, like, because I also didn't, like, I had a couple moments where I was like, should I just stop reading the text and just look at the pretty pictures? And part of that is that there's a little bit of a narrative going through it. Like, every once in a while, the text is like, at the very end of the catacombs, you'll find yourself in a long tunnel. And if it was only those snippets that were telling me that I was a character, like, if that voice stayed consistent,
yeah,
I think I could be into it. But you jump back and forth between that, like, as the book is talking to me, and then not.
And so sometimes basically out of the book
was a little weird.
Yeah, the basically out of the book is it introduces this little poem at the start that you are a skeleton and you look in the dark down this well, and all of a sudden you have flesh, and you pick if you're good or evil. Well, I'm saying you pick. I am projecting this gameplay upon this book, which is a cool trick. They do
it.
Which
is what it wants, yeah.
I think some of the text could be better. You basically pick your class. There are, I mean, you don't pick your class. You don't, you could touch a page and say, that's me. I do like that aspect. There are the list of classes. And then it does become like a walkthrough, like a strategy guide. Mm-hmm. So you start in one area and it'll describe the area. And then it might describe like the enemies there, or the map, or the sort of visible landscape. And then at the end of each area, there is like, oh, maybe here's a secret, and then a way to progress to the next area. There are NPC encounters, which I had initially, I thought a lot of them are like wearing masks and talking about masks. And I was like, oh, are these all the same character? Will there be a cool revelation? There wasn't. Nope. The ending also was kind of disappointing, but so the dialogue for the NPCs is just, I feel like I've seen people write this Dark Souls NPC dialogue just as well in a tweet on a lark, right? And so mm-hmm. like, I think if you're going to publish it in a book, it needs to be a little better. The first one, art thou among the living? If so, this is not a place for thee. Like, it is just, it's the Bloodborne guy talking out the window. It does not go beyond that. It does not do anything new or special. But yeah, there are a lot of the dialogue is in second person. This is getting back to what Max is saying. Like, once you gather the item, the statues on the back will come to life, blah, 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 blah. And I think, yeah, that is a good through line. I like,
but it also says person. Like, pick the half skull made of stone in one of the ossuaries and place it on the statue. Not you pick it up. Like,
there's right,
right. There's like, that's what I mean about the voice
instructional
changing.
Versus.
I don't. Yeah, I was like, I don't actually know what the technical difference is between these two things because I am not a writer.
So one is describing what you do. It is narrating what your quote unquote PC is doing, mm-hmm. and then the other part is instructions to you, both as the player and the player character.
And I think I like the narration better.
Yeah.
I like the framing of this is like a record of a playthrough or something that you're yes. walking through, or it is a playthrough. Like the basic premise of you are going to make an analog text adventure, because I think that's the basic premise here. So this is an analog text adventure. It is not really a game. It's not like fully a game because it can't, you can't have like a, it's, you can't have a text adventure video game that actually is analog because it has to be interactive in some way. So there's like all this, there is a lot of like formulaic things that I find compelling about it. But it's not a choose your own adventure, and there's something different there that like is kind of interesting to me, because I think the choose your own adventure book format is very cool, and I look forward to reading some of the ones that I know are coming out in the world. But then you are just like playing a solo game, and that is kind of different than a reading experience to me. And there's something nice about it being a reading experience, even if it's not hitting all its markers for having using words good.
Yeah. And I do like reading playthrough logs. Like, I have read Dwarf Fortress playthrough logs, and I used to read strategy guides, right? Like, I don't think I'm alone in that. People of my age maybe had access to a strategy guide and didn't have access to the game, or didn't have time to play through the whole game, and did it in the same way that people read a D&D book and imagine what their character might be. And like, some of my first, I guess you would say, game design experiences would be, I played Mortal Kombat 2 on the Game Boy. I'm going to draw a Mortal Kombat 2 level. Or, I read this article on Nintendo Power about the new Zelda game. I'm never going to get to play it because I don't have a Super Nintendo, but I saw the screenshots. I'm going to draw a screen from Zelda. And so this kind of stuff really appeals to me. And I think this is a fine attempt, a good attempt. I wanted it to be weirder. I wanted it to be more unique, more from the artist's experience and less a recreation of the Dark Souls. My soul is dark enough already.
That's fair. I think for me, the actual like way in which the book uses like different voices and different forms, like different text layouts, felt it really pulled me out of it.
Yeah.
And I don't care that it's a not as good Dark Souls as much.
Yeah.
Because I am fine to, like, if this was literally a Dark Souls comic or whatever, I'd be like, yeah, I'm on board.
That's the same. Yeah. I don't.
But I do find, because I couldn't read it, it wasn't, you know, you turn the corner and or whatever, or down the hallway you see blah. And so there wasn't this like narrative consistency through it. I felt very in and out of it. Like, reading an official guide is not, you're not doing, like, it's not, there's no narrative to a guidebook, you know, like it is a guidebook. It's like a handbook. It is an encyclopedia. It is a tool. It is a reference, as opposed to being a story. And I think the jumping back and forth between the two of them made it harder for me to stay in it. And I can see the book, like, I can see the experience that I love that is staying in it. Which I think is like, to me, where I don't know, one or the other, I think actually would be fine. But there's a page that says like, while inspecting the fireplace, you might notice a strong smell coming from the chimney. Avoid looking up.
Yeah. And then a picture of what,
and then there's a very upsetting picture. And I'm like, I'm here for this page.
Yeah.
I am here for that experience. Because it is, to me, and maybe I'm only just realizing this as I'm saying this out loud, that page is an experience that is kind of gamey and comes off out of the book into me as a person.
Yeah.
Because in saying don't look up or avoid looking up, like, I can choose to avoid that photo. And there is this weird, like, I don't know, transmedia, intertextual, like, there's a weird interaction happening there that I think is very interesting because of the interplay of like directive text. And also, it doesn't just, you can play with the form enough that you can like hide some of that and make some of that a choice. And I think that's really interesting. And so I wish it had stayed in there, in that land, more.
I mean,
I don't know.
I inherited from my cousin a strategy guide to Secret of Mana, which is a Super Nintendo game that I only got to play at my cousin's. But he wrote in it as he played through. And so the strategy guide was set up like this. Like, sometimes it would say, you know, the heroes come to a village and they encounter this, this, and this. And it was kind of a storytelling thing. And then sometimes there would be a sidebar with item descriptions that were less, here's the story and here's peer information. And then sometimes it would say, like, The heroes save the village, but they know that next they have to encounter the dragon. Will they charge toward the fight, or will they stay in the area and train? And so this kind of like question to the reader again, pulling the reader in. And then my cousin had written in like, they stay and train, exclamation mark, or like they charge into the battle all throughout the guide. And so it was this mix of informative informational object and playthrough recording with all these also sidebars that were not speaking to anyone. They were peer information. I really like that. I think this is close to that. I mean, obviously it's not by my cousin, so I'm not as personally invested, but I do like, I like the genre. I like that people are making these. And this one is good. The art is great. If you have the money, go get it.
The art is exceptionally good. The physical experience of it is good. The paper is good, just in case, because we are occasionally a paper snob here. So it is a nice physical object on a number of fronts. And I do want people to make more of it. And I am kind of curious as to like how I feel about Vermis 2. Like, is there any reflection iteration on that process, you know?
Right.
I think there is a part of me that was expecting it to be more art.
Mm-hmm.
Like experimental. Like, maybe I'm saying, oh, it would be nice if I was in that in that page where it's telling me to look away, and then there's a scare. It's like the page telling me to look away, and it also presenting something that is interesting to look at, I think is fun.
Yeah.
I do think that that's kind of like a weird, it also could have just been experimental poetry, and I think I would have been so in.
Yeah. There are pages that are like full text almost.
Yes.
You know, it's, yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
Even the pages that like have dialogue on them, I'm like, if you just had the dialogue and you didn't have anything else about the right. character, I think that could be interesting.
Yeah.
There's a page that there's a half a page that is just a picture of a room with a well, and the text underneath it says a room with a well. And if there were just pages like that all the time, I'd be all about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's like, I don't know, it's a solid 8/10 for me.
Yeah, yeah.
It is worth buying for the art. You don't ever really have to.
Yeah, read it. Here's my mod of this game. I took all the text out. Just look at the pictures.
I love the idea that, like, I want to send you like a physical copy of this book and just have you mark it up. And then leave it somewhere.
It be interesting to do like an edit of the text and post it somewhere?
I feel like folk fan projects, like iterating on something and then continuing to go into the world and being iterated upon is very interesting. Yeah. You know, like this is so referential, and then having it be referenced again but turned into something else is very interesting to me.
I can't do a new project, but I want to.
No projects ever.
Yeah.
I mean, also, like, I would love to make something like this someday. I can both not make this art, nor can I really write, so it's completely out of the scope of things that I can do. So I, you know,
but it does, there is, and I think maybe this is my final word on it, is like, you're right, there is a kind of spark to this that I think will have a lot of people wanting to make their own version of it, which I think is a valuable thing.
I think 50% of indie game projects would be better if they were this.
Okay.
This is my hot take. Because this is somebody who is
indie game projects. Do you mean video game or
no? Like RPG projects. Yeah. Because this is RPG adjacent is mm-hmm. where I would put it. It is fanfic. It is creative output. It is, you know, like, it is something that is so deeply in the conversation of video games and role-playing games. And somebody was clearly inspired by video games and role-playing games into making it. And instead of thinking, you know what I could do? I could make a Dark Souls tabletop RPG book. They thought, I'm going to make a weird little art book that just rolls everything. That doesn't actually, there is a statement in here that is, I don't care what you think of it. Because it's not following a convention that is set by the medium, right? It is not easily read as a storybook. It is not easily read as a guidebook. It is not playable, but it contains playable elements, right? Like, there is a lot of experimentation happening in it. It can only be described as an art book, both mm-hmm. in its text and its layout and its inclusion of visual arts, right? Yeah. But like,
it's close to a comic book in certain ways. Mm-hmm. But I like, that's not me saying, ooh, gotcha, I think it's a comic book. It's me saying it's pulling elements of comic books. There's a pictorial narrative. There's a progression through it. There's text that is also there informing the meaning of those pictures. Like, but it's not, I wouldn't put it in my comic book collection.
Totally. It's not a comic book. It's not a game book. It's not a guidebook. Because it can't be a guidebook if the game doesn't exist. So it is speculative and artistic in that way to begin with. It's not an actual game book. Right? Like, it's not trying to be an RPG, but it could very easily be an RPG setting. I could absolutely say we are playing Vermis tomorrow in an OSR game.
Right.
Like, it contains as much information as a setting book would in an RPG zine context.
It is maybe closest to like a setting book.
Yeah, it is closest to a setting book, but it's also not that. But that's what I mean. Right. Like, it's the way in which it is shirking those definitions is where it's really interesting. And I think 50% of things that people present as RPG game books should shirk that tradition and just be a weird little collection of the things they find interesting.
Yeah.
Is the thing that I really like about it.
Speaking of, I did want to mention, for once, we will get this episode out while the thing is actually happening. Adam Vass of World Champ Game Co., previous guest on the show, is running a Zine Month alternative jam. February is Zine Quest, Zine Month. Lots of people are crowdfunding games. It can be overwhelming. And so Adam is running this jam for just making a zine, old-fashioned, maybe just using paper and pens or collage, not crowdfunding it, but also like trying to create a little hub. There's a message board on the Zine Jam page for just like people to collaborate or share their work or ask questions or something. That is something that I have missed in the tabletop community. And so I'm excited for it. There's a little channel in our Discord for people that are doing it if you want to come hang out. So if this excites you to be like, oh, I want to make weird art and write weird text, and it doesn't have to be a game, and it doesn't have to be a story, come do that for this jam.
Arguably, the point of a zine is those things. Like, this is more, even though it is formulaically not a zine, it is a full ass soft bound, like perfect bound book.
Right. You could take any chapter out of this and put it out as a zine, and I think it would work really well. I would probably like it more.
I also feel like conceptually and like, you know, artistically, it is closer to a zine than, again, most of the game books that we release as zine formats that are not conceptually aligned with the zine or like, you know, politically, because like, you can't separate zine culture from politics, PS, in case people didn't know that. And so making zines all owned by Kickstarter actually makes them not zines in my mind. But that's a hot take that I'm sure
people are mad about it. Both of us who have made zines on
Kickstarter. Oh, we for sure have as part of Zine Month. I don't think they carry the heart of zines. I think they were products we released, right? Like, this isn't like it does. I don't know. I feel as I age, and in the indie RPG space, I feel like I'm aging fucking rapidly.
We are some of the oldest.
I feel like I am, and I'm not. Like, it is such an aging environment. It is such a taxing on the physical and emotional state environment to exist in. There is something that I too also am sad that zines all look the same and have become a product term, not an artistic and political term.
Yeah, you're kind of the stench master of the RPG zine world.
Am I?
Stench master? What's this? What was it called? No, I don't know.
It wasn't stench master, but I'll take it. I'm the stench master of the RPG world now. You gotta hold your breath or figure out that breeze.
The wind.
The stench champion.
Do you have an appendix N for this?
My appendix N is Natalie's Bloodborne poems.
Okay. Can we get a link to those? They're at some point
better. I will send you a link. It will be included in the show notes.
I'll put them in the show notes.
She wrote about it for First Person Scholar. I don't know if there's actually like a collection of them. I'll ask her if there's a collection of them anywhere. They're great. They're also like formulaically interesting because they are constrained to the words you can use in Bloodborne, right? Like that's their whole, they're literally written the in the game.
What?
Yes.
That's amazing.
It's dope.
I'm very pumped for these.
And yeah, I may someday, one of my like back burner dream projects is making an AR game that is limited to the same language, like the same vocabulary as the Dark Souls games, but in the real world. So you can leave
that would be to leave notes. Oh, that would be so good.
Yeah, that's my append. I feel like I probably have more. I feel like yeah.
I read have
something else recently.
Three different yours. Half ones.
Wow, three.
And so I'll say a couple of them. I mean, one of them is just my cousin's Secret of Mana strategy guide, which I no longer have, which is super sad.
How can we republish it if you don't have it?
Right, that's what I'm saying.
We could scan it and publish it.
So that's why it's only half of one.
I'd say that is zero of one.
Another half of one. It's half because I think I've recommended it before, but it's the book Hav, by Jan Morris, who was like fought in World War II and is a trans woman. And so it's like one of our oldest kind of in the West white people conceptions of trans people, like publishing in the mainstream press that we have. I know there are others. I'm not trying to say she's the first, but like, I have a lot of respect for her. And this is a book about a fictional island, but it was published serially in a magazine. And people would read her stuff and then call their travel agents and be like, I just read about this island in a magazine. I need to book a vacation there. And they'd be like, this place doesn't exist. And they'd be like, no, it does. I just read about it in a magazine. It's really good. It's set in the real world, but it is that kind of thing where it's not a novel, it's not a travelogue because it's not a real place, but it is really playing with those forms and incorporating some of the best parts. But I think I've mentioned it before, so not sure if it counts.
Appendix A.
Right. Did you remember another one? I have one last half one.
But. I mean, my half one is Lunacid, the video game, which okay. I have been playing. But I feel like I say it's a half one because I feel like I've talked about it before.
Maybe just in the Discord.
Maybe just in the Discord. Meat Castle turned me onto it, and I haven't finished it yet. But it is also kind of like a Dark Souls fan project. It is based on the old FromSoft game that I always forget the name of.
Demon's Souls.
No, before that.
Armored older. Core.
Kingsfield.
Oh, right.
The ancient ones. And it's this kind of like old graphic dungeon crawler. The soundtrack is phenomenal. It's good. It's like $14 on Steam. It's clearly somebody's just passion. I love these kinds of games. It feels more like a Dark Souls remake to me, but that's because I haven't played Kingsfield. Like I came to the Souls games later, and so I don't know the original reference. It just feels like I'm trying to make a PS1 era Dark Souls. But it's cool. It's good.
And my last one, which is maybe the most real one, is the game Hylix, Hylics, by Mason Lindroth, which is a video game on Steam for $2.99. It is described as a recreational program with light JRPG elements. I recommend it because it looks like a JRPG that is made out of clay and then photographed and then run through a 16-bit.
What is
graphic
this
processor?
Art.
Have you not seen this?
I am
this?
Buying this right now.
Oh, it's so good. And like a lot of those same kind of stippled textures that you see in Vermis are present in this game. It truly looks like something that was crafted in clay and then photographed on a Game Boy camera, you know?
Was it crafted in clay?
I don't know. Maybe. But It's a beautiful game. Mason Lindroth is also. Let's hear it.
It's like Hylix 2, but the first one. Which I love the idea of going around to the first version of games and being like, it's like the second one, but the first one. It's $3.89 in Canada, just as a note.
Yeah. So yeah, go buy that. You can also follow Mason, I think, on Twitter and Tumblr. I forgot to pull up the things, but just search Mason Lindroth, L-I-N-D-R-O-T-H. I'll try to find the links for the show notes. And, you know, you will see this amazing art. It's so good.
It's so good. This is dope. This is my evening.
Good. Good. Yeah, it says it's like 2 to 3 hours of play, so.
Goodbye, Oxen Free 2. I mean, jettisoned.
What else? I don't know. We are still on Patreon, patreon.com/rtfmcast. We are behind on Patreon content. We're going to catch up. Max moved. My life has been crazy, but we'll get there.
I haven't asked. Some people are cool when they listen to this. This Hylix game and Lunacid actually has kind of inspired me. I am trying to develop a little bit of a compendium of like weird art games, and most of my exposure, like video games, and most of my exposure is to like queer art games, and those are great and good, and I love those. But I feel like there's a lot of games out there like this game Hylix that I have missed that I would like to know of. So like throw in the Discord or at me on Twitter with like the bizarroest video games that you know of. This is
I love this. Yeah, I'm excited to see what you get.
Yeah, just like the wildest out there stuff is what I'm. Which this certainly looks like it qualifies for. Lunacid looks like a positively normal video game in comparison to this wild nonsense.
But yeah, find us on Discord as well. Come hang out. We did some speedrun jam stuff. We're going to hang out for the Zine Month Alternative Jam as well. We read the Iliad. We might do an episode on that, maybe.
I love it. I just purchased three. So I'm doing an art residency this month, and I will be making a solo role-playing game at this art residency. So I will be posting about the weirdness that is the thing that I'm making, because this is the theremin-controlled solo RPG month.
I have two different pet sitting clients that have theremins, and so I am. This is one I can play.
The bad brain weasels have already set in of, can I make a small portable Arduino run box that functions like the box I have, so that I can actually like make people play? I haven't even made the game yet. I just like know what the basic electronic structure is of it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, if I made a tiny little like 3D printed, maybe with an antenna, or maybe I change it to something like a light sensor or whatever. If I made this tiny little physical box that is how you play this solo RPG, and then packaged it up and like made 10 of them as a limited release, this might be a thing. This might be a pit I descend into this month. But I did just go to Toronto's best used bookstore to pick up some technical handbook manual things.
They look super cool.
For reference, this is Monkey's Paw. If you ever come, I will take you to Monkey's Paw. They have a vending machine
that
releases books that are, yeah, it's good. Unknown books.
Love it.
But yeah, it's theremin zine month for me. So I'm going to be deep in weird forms.
That's good. Kind of a short one on this one, but I guess there are no RPG mechanics to discuss or explain, so that explains it. We're only 10 minutes short of an hour. Go check out thelostbayrpg.com. Again, sponsored us. It looks great. It looks super cool. The always good design direction from... This is the homework I didn't do. Is it Iko or Iko? Iko is the person in charge of The Lost Bay.
Yeah, please tell us. Only a name we've read on the internet.
I'm sorry.
My brain says Iko, but who knows?
Yeah. Iko is the video game that Plastibu worked on, played with Hidetaka Miyazaki. The prequel to Shadows of the Colossus.
See, you're already making the project, though. You do realize that. You've already started your fan project of Vermis.
In 2001, Plastibu kissed Hidetaka Miyazaki, and this zine came out of their mouths. That's all I got.
That's perfect.
All right.
Should we return to having a quote?
No, because I didn't like most of the text in this
That's the perfect time to quote.
At the very end of the catacombs, you will find yourself in a long tunnel. Great.
Wow. Okay, bye.